Father, I pray today that you would bring life to the words I'm about to speak, that only the truth would go forth, and only the truth would be received. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, you can probably guess that as a pastor, I often find myself in kind of spiritual types of discussions with people. And I'll be invited to someone's house, and almost inevitably we'll get into some kind of spiritual discussion. And one of the things that I hear quite often is, I really struggle in my prayer life. I just, and I'll ask, well, what do you struggle with? Well, I just don't have time. I'm too busy. I don't have the time to pray the way that I would like to pray. And that's what my favorite line used to be. Why don't you pray more? I don't have enough time. I'm just too busy. Even as a pastor, I work 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and I don't have time to pray. Well, wouldn't you think that pastors might find it important to make the time to pray? I think the struggle is not with prayer itself. I honestly don't. I think the struggle is with our priorities. What are our priorities in life? The late Oswald Chambers said this, "We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Most of us would prefer, however, to spend our time doing something that will get immediate results. We don't want to wait for God to resolve matters in his good time, because his idea of good time is seldom in sync with ours." And I shared with you last week the struggle that I have had in prayer in my life, and even as a pastor, having a very sporadic and incomplete prayer life. And as I sought to become more committed to prayer, when God began, as Aaron said, as God began to call me to a deeper life of prayer, I struggled to be able to accomplish that. And finally, one day I had to face this horrible truth that the reason I didn't pray more was because I didn't want to pray more. That was the bottom line. I didn't pray more because I didn't want to pray more. What I was really saying was that whatever was on my agenda, whatever I was going to do, was more important than spending time with God. And until I came to grips with that, until I came to understand that if I want to pray, truly want to pray, guess what I'll do? I'll pray. And when I came to grips with that, and until I came to grips with that, then this sporadic life of prayer that I lived was going to continue. I had plenty of excuses that I would have said were reasons, plenty of excuses why I couldn't pray more than I did. But really, each and every one of those were only a symptom, not of my prayer problem, but of my priority problem. And I had to get right to the root of that first. And I wish I could stand up here now today and tell you that since that insight, I've never struggled with the priority of prayer ever again. Every day, the first thing I think of when I wake up, and it's all I want to do. Well, I could tell you that, but I would be lying. I still struggle with it. I openly confess that I struggle with it, making prayer the priority that it needs it to be. I still wrestle with it. I still wrestle with making it that priority, but I now know one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt, and it's this: that if I want to be the man of God that I want to be, if I want to be the husband, the father, the grandfather, the pastor, the friend that God wants me to be, I must be a man of prayer. I can't be any of those things. I can't be the man of God that I want to be unless I pray, the grandfather, the father, the husband. I can't be any of those things unless prayer is a priority in my life. If Arendale Alliance Church, or any other church for that matter, if Arendale Alliance Church is going to be the church that God has called us to be, it will be because, not that we're a church that prays, because all churches pray. We've done it already in the service. but we will be a church of prayer. And when we become that church of prayer, then we are moving closer and closer and closer to what God wants us to be, accomplishing all that he wants us to accomplish. And as I was walking on this journey toward being more devoted to prayer and making it more of a priority in my life, one of the texts that really challenged me and spoke to me was the passage that Nathan read earlier, Mark 1, 29 to 39. And we see in that passage and so many other passages that prayer was like the breath of life for Jesus. It was what his life was focused on. He spent large amounts of time in prayer. And speaking to his Father in prayer was as natural to him as breathing, because he had made it the priority of his life. And it took me a long time to realize that prayer is not just something that we do as Christians. It's something that we are devoted to, that we're focused on. And to see how important that was for me as a Christian, as a pastor, to be devoted to prayer in that way. And in the text, we see some ways, some incredibly, incredibly practical ways to become more devoted to the area of prayer, to make prayer a greater priority in our life. And we see it lived out in the life of Jesus in these few verses. One of the things we see is that that prayer will become a priority for us when we make time for prayer. When we make time for prayer. Again, if it's going to be an add-on to us, or it's going to be something that we're going to do if there's no hockey game on or something, then it will never become all that we want it to be. Just think of this passage that Nathan read. Here's Jesus. He has spent this incredibly, incredibly busy day in ministry. He's preaching. People are being healed. Demons are being cast out. And he went until late in the night. How do we know that? Because they didn't even bring them to him until sundown. And yet, and it says the whole town was there. And so he's ministering until late in the night. So, of course, he wants to sleep in the next day. I had a busy night. Well, that's not what we see, is it? What we see in verse 35 is that rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. See, the busyness of Jesus' schedule did not prevent him from making the time for prayer. And this wasn't unique. This wasn't the only time in the New Testament that we ever see this. In Luke 5:16, it says that he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And beloved, we must come to grips with this reality that if we wait to find the time to pray, the chances are we will never pray in a significant way. It will be the arrow prayers that we just shoot up real quick as we're heading out the door. Lord, bless me as I go to work today. Amen. Because that's the only time that we can find in our schedules. And one of the ways that we make prayer a priority is by making it a time on our busy calendars. The first thing on my calendar every morning, it's right on my computer, is 7 o'clock, time with God. That's on my calendar. Not because I forget about it, because if I put in the fact that I have a staff meeting on Tuesday at 9:30, why wouldn't I put that I want to spend time with God? And so we make time, we set that time aside. We put it right into our busy schedules. I mean, we make time for other things. I made time to get as many of my son's hockey games as I could, get as many of our daughter's piano recitals. I tried to get to as many of those as I possibly could. So why wouldn't I make time for God? Why wouldn't I make time to spend time with him? And so we make this a regular time. We say, from whatever it is, I'm going to spend that time in prayer, and we do it until it becomes a habit, until the first thing that we do when we wake up in the morning is to think, right after coffee, I'm going to pray. Because you can't pray unless you've had a coffee, right? You just can't. I used to think that was a sin. I remember I was preaching in a church in Chicago one time, and our pastor knew the pastor there really well. And I came back and I said, I've lost so much respect for Pastor Dell. He said, why? I said, do you know that even in prayer time, he drinks coffee? And I don't know why I thought that was so horrible, but I thought he must not even be a Christian if he drinks. Well, now that's the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is make my coffee and then I go to prayer. But if we make time for those things, why don't we make time for everything? The late Catherine Marshall said this, the best time for prayer isn't found, it's made. And we see in the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament that the men and women of God made time for their prayer. Daniel, second in command in Babylon, a lot of responsibilities, many demands on his time, and yet we see in Daniel 6:10 that he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. David, the king, all the responsibility, the tasks that go with being a king. And in Psalm 55:17, he says that every evening, morning, and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. Beloved, can I encourage you, no matter how busy you are, that you make time in your schedule sometime for prayer? And it doesn't have to be a full hour. Start with 10 or 15 minutes. Just make sure you put that time in your schedule. Communicate with God on a daily basis. And this is the way that we may begin to make prayer a priority in our lives. But I have to be honest with you, at least in my experience, unless I make that specific time, it just doesn't happen. It happens when I get around to it. And prayer will always be this add-on to our life rather than one of the central focuses of our life. Now, I don't know if it's important when you do it. For a lot of people, including me, I like the morning best because if I get caught up in the busyness of the day, I'll be honest, I lose that priority. Some people do it first thing in the morning. Some people are morning, they're just not morning people, so they do it later in the day. A friend of mine pastored in Swift Current, and his house, in his church, they had a prayer room way up in about the third floor. And he would go up there at 4 o'clock every day, and he'd pray from 4 to 5. It doesn't matter when you do it as much as do you do it. Do you set that time aside? Do you not allow other things to interfere with your prayer time? I would encourage you to make prayer the most important appointment of your day. Make that number one, that I will pray before I do anything else. Prayer becomes a priority when we make time for it. But I think something else that we often overlook is that prayer becomes a priority when we have this place of prayer. I think that that's part of the discipline of making prayer a priority, not just that we have a specific time, but that we have a specific place where we go to pray. Now, obviously, we can and we should pray anywhere and everywhere. But many people, and I'm one of those again, that helps me to make prayer a priority when I have a specific place of prayer. And so in our house, we have a three-season sunroom. And that's where I love to go pray. I get up in the morning and I go sit there and I love to be in there and pray. I love to pray when I'm camping, but I never pray in the trailer. I go outside, even if it's pouring rain. I just set the awning down and I go and pray. So I think it's important to have a specific place of prayer. Jesus went out to a desolate place and there he prayed. And we saw earlier in Luke, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Daniel not only prayed 3 times a day, he had a regular place of prayer. He went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. Now, the important thing, I think, is that our place of prayer should be a place where we can pray without being distracted, where it's as quiet as possible in the whatever family situation that you are in, where we can be alone. And Jesus found this quiet place, this desolate place where nothing was going to pull him away from God. Be in a place, if you can be, that avoids distractions. I don't know about you, but I've tried praying on my way to work in the morning. Not a good idea. There's a lot of distractions, or there should be. And so we have to be, I don't find that, you know, I'm alone, yes. I could turn the radio off. Well, I never play the radio, but turn the CD off. I can do all of those things, but there's too many distractions. Do we have a place of prayer? Things that won't distract us. There'll be many times in a day when most of us will just lift our hearts to God in prayer. Just say, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for my family. Sometimes we're going to pray out loud. We're going to be in the company of other people, and we're going to pray out loud. And that's great. But I also believe that there needs to be a place where we can retreat, where we can be alone with God, where we can pray silently, where we can pray out loud, whatever we want, where we can weep, where we can rejoice. This week I got an email from a friend who has just resigned from his church. Been a very difficult situation. His first church was a very difficult situation. And so I was in my office in the house where I'm staying, and I began to pray for him, and I became overwhelmed with pain for him. And I began to, alone in my office, I just began to weep. Just asking God to touch him. Touch the church that he's leaving, to restore or bring restoration to both him and the church. If you're in a public place, it's kind of hard to do that. But if you're in your private place of prayer, you're able to do that, where I can be completely free to talk to God. Some of you may have heard of the Wesleys, John Wesley, evangelist, and Charles Wesley, songwriter, the hymn writer. I don't know if you know this, but he came from a family of 17 children. 17 children. So how does a mother pray and have a quiet place of prayer when you have 17 children? She pulled her apron over her head. And the family knew, the children knew, when mom has her apron over her head, she's praying and do not disturb her. It doesn't matter where it is. Find a place of prayer. And I know for many who are in that place in life where there's so many things going on with children in the midst of a busy family, it can be difficult. But again, I encourage you to try and find that time and find that place and pray whatever time the children or your the Lord will allow you to pray. So we need to have this place of prayer. We need to have this time of prayer. But there's one other lesson that I learned from this, is that prayer becomes a priority when we listen to God in prayer. You see, the fact that we take the time to list this whole list of requests to God does not necessarily mean that we've made prayer a priority, because true prayer is communication. And true communication is two-way. It's a sender and a receiver and a speaker and a listener. So true prayer is not just me telling God what I want, but it's also time spent just listening to God and see what God wants for me. It's certainly appropriate. God asks us to lift our requests to Him, our concerns, and we have tremendous comfort in knowing that He listens to us. But it's also essential that we allow Him to speak, that we take the time, that we take the effort to listen. For too many of us, our prayer time consists, we make the time, we have the place, but our prayer time consists, again, of listing all these things to God, almost telling God, just sit back and listen. And list, giving Him this huge list of things that we want, and then immediately walking out of our prayer place without asking, God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want me to hear from you? And so we see that Jesus had this place, and He had this time, but we also see that Jesus listened. Where do I see that? Well, look at verses 37 and 38. And the disciples found Him and said to Him, everyone is looking for you. And He said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. So Jesus must have been listening to God. Just imagine this, that you have ministered the night before and you have seen incredible things happen. People were healed. People had demons cast out of them. These wonderful, powerful things. And then the disciples come and find you the next morning in your place of prayer, and they say, good news, they want you back. They want you to come back and preach again. It's like a preacher's dream. Do you want me to come back? Wow. There's more people that need to be healed. They're looking for the great physician to come and to set them free. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think my tendency would be to say, okay, let's go. Let's go minister to those people that saw what happened yesterday. But Jesus says this incredible thing. He says, sorry, we're moving on. Where in the world did that come from? I don't think it came from Himself. I don't think it was His idea. I think that He listened to God. Because you see, John 5:30 says that Jesus does nothing of His own initiative. He only does what the Father tells Him. So I don't think it was Jesus' decision to move on to those next towns. I think it was Jesus listening to His Father. His Father saying, yes, there are still a lot of needs there in Capernaum. There's still lots of people that need to be touched. But I didn't call you to touch people in one place. So Jesus, move on. Go to the next towns. He listened. Didn't just make time. Didn't just have a place. But He's demonstrated that prayer was a true priority by spending time listening to His Father. And beloved, if Jesus felt the need to do that, can we do any less? Can we do any less than to make time listening to God? Now, I'm a list prayer. I pray through the Lord's Prayer, and I have it divided. Well, I learned it in six different ways, six different categories. And at the end of each category, I have this on my list: stop and listen to God. So I pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, and then I talk about, you know, I worship God, just spend that first 15, 20 minutes just worshiping God. And at the end, I pray, stop and listen. And then at the end, then I pray for our church. I pray for my family. Pray for our church. Pray for all the staff members in the church. I pray for five families in the church. And at the end of that, I say on my notes, stop and listen. And do we make that time to stop and to listen to God? Now, I know that scares some people because we say, I had a lady tell me one time, God told me to divorce my husband. I heard him. He told me. And I said, no, he didn't. Because God hates divorce. So he didn't tell you. There was no biblical grounds, no reason, biblical reason for that to happen. So I knew it wasn't God. If God tells me, if I hear a voice, telling me in prayer, leave Wendy, go find another woman. I don't have to say, okay, is that really you, God? And so we listen, but it must be in line with God's word. But it's clear that we're called to listen to God. But there's one other thing in this passage that we can't miss, or beyond the passage. And that's when we commit ourselves to prayer, when we make it a priority, we have a time and we have a place and we spend time listening. Look what happened in Jesus' life. If you read the rest of chapter 1 and you go into chapter 2, you see that there was this great power to his ministry, this great power that God worked in him and God worked through him to accomplish great things. And I remember when I first read that, I had to ask myself, am I experiencing God's power in my life? Am I seeing this? I had to ask, are we seeing God's power in our church? And we definitely weren't. Could it be, beloved? Could it be that we're not seeing that kind of power in our life? Could it be that we're not seeing that kind of power at Arundel Alliance Church? It's because prayer is not a priority.